Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another evening of the LNB Passage to Empowerment. Our topic tonight is fur babies. And as always, we have the three of us. My name is Nina. We have the lovely and spicy Lydia. Lydia, say hello.
Hey there!
And hi. Our soon-to-be doctor of psychology, Brenda.
Hi. I'm not lovely today. And I'm not spicy either.
No, that's reserved for only one person.
That's me.
That's
what
you.
What spice are you?
I don't know, because I'm a little spicy.
I was talking to Nina.
What spice
I already know you're spicy. There's no point in even talking to your What do they call you, habanero ass? I mean, a butt, a person, a bum?
Now, what spice am I? Well, I'm pretty spicy, too, so I don't know.
Yeah,
the hotter,
are.
The better is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, ghost chilies. They're my new passion.
See? Good Lord.
Ghost chilies are hotter than habaneros.
Are they really? I've never heard of them. I'll have to try.
Yes, and they're very... Yes.
They're killer, but they're good.
All right. Who wants to kick this off?
Well, let's see. Nick, can I start with a story about...
Sure.
And most of you who know me probably already know about the pizza thief that lives in my house.
Uh-oh.
So this is a kind of fuzzy love that I get in my place. One night we decided to have pizza, and I'm sure it's a we, because anytime we have pizza, that's always in their mind, but I finally decided to get it. And so went to the door, and the pizza guy comes, and I put the pizza on the steps that are right at my front door. I put the pizza down on the step, three steps up. The dogs are in the living room kind of watching, you know, grumbling at the fact that there's somebody at the front door. They did get awfully quiet, and I didn't really think about it as I was signing the little credit slip and the guy, you know, da-da-da. And he, you know, said whatever, and he's leaving the door. And so then I close the door, and I go, and the pizza box is sitting there just like I put it there. It wasn't lifted. There was nothing. Well, I think it might have been slightly up on the corner, but I just kind of don't really remember that. But when I picked it up and I looked at those two, Pepper was licking her lips and Tyler was looking at me like, when do I get mine? And I thought it was a weird look. So then I kind of just opened it, I guess because that little lift that was open, and there's no fur on the box, there's no drool on the box, but there's one piece of pizza missing. And I thought, okay, that guy, you know, yeah, he had a little few extra pounds. I thought he couldn't be creepy enough to, like, take out pizza and eat it and then hand me a piece of pizza-less pizza. And Tyler's just still like, but when do I get mine? And Pepper's like still licking her lips. I was just like, you ate the pizza? You got in and got out clean with all your hair even? To this day. It's sort of a mystery, but, you know, her Uncle David still calls her the pizza thief, and, well, so do we. So, yeah, that's what love can get you. Lots mm-hmm. of food.
Yeah, I have some stories of that. Nina, did you want to go next?
I don't really have any bad stories about my animals.
Well, yeah.
That was not a bad story. It was a hilarious story.
It was a hilarious story.
Mine are too little to steal food.
Ah, are you lucky or what?
Too little.
And Humpty, you have a lot of fur babies.
Who, me? Yeah, I do. I have four of them. I have two dogs, Shih Tzu and Poodle crosses, and I have two cats.
You have five.
Stir Fry. No, I only
have
four.
You have five fur babies.
No, four.
Yeah, there's Porky Pig.
Oh, for heaven's sake. He hasn't got much fur left.
I thought he had sort of a furry chest. No?
Oh, hell no. I plucked those three hairs out a long time ago.
That's
wow.
about how many my honey had, too.
Sorry about that.
You have the cutest dogs. I did get to meet one of your cats, but not the newest one, Stir Fry, who is quite, he's got some, is it a he or she? I'm sorry.
She's, all my animals are she's.
Oh, okay. My God. Poor Porky Pig.
Stir Fry is quite funny.
Oh, yeah, she is. She's very funny. She, I have a picture of her on Facebook of her sitting in my accordion file holder. Well, she decided at supper time today, and she's big now, to try and get into it again. Of course, she couldn't, so she was mad as all heck. But, yeah, I had to pull her out of there and say, no, you dumped it over yesterday already. You can't do this anymore. So I pulled her out of there, and she was quite upset with me, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're a good disciplinarian.
That's why I think she sounded very much like that little, I don't know if you all got to see that little video of that little black French bulldog. His name is Frenchie, or Frog Frenchie. And that woman was saying, you go to bed now. You. And I told Mel, I said, that is so Nina. And Mel said, well, she sounds Canadian. I said, it's not that. It's just that. The way Nina is, like, you do this, now it's time for you to do that. That's so Nina.
Mm-hmm.
She's sort of like that mother person.
Okay, I thought you were going to tell me I was being bossy or something. That's a mother person.
Oh, my gosh, can you stop with the darkness? When I come at you, most of the time it's really just fun and games. You know, people who are serious are the people that I like to play with the most, like Gaetano.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does G have any hair? What is his body? Is he a hairy man?
He's Italian. Of course he's hairy.
No, he's Sicilian. There's a
well, yeah, he's Sicilian, so of course he's hairy. Come on, Lydia.
Okay. I'm with a Sicilian, so I don't know.
Yes, he does. Yes,
well,
he's a fur baby. He's a fur baby. I'd like to refer to him as a fur mess, but oh yeah.
I have two dogs. I have Precious and Loki, and they are chow mixes. Loki looks more golden. And Precious is a definitely G-O-K dog, and that stands for God Only Knows. And they've got their little things, each of them. Loki is very skittish around people, loves dogs and skittish around people, and Precious loves people, will go to anyone. I call her a little hoe. And she loves people, but she absolutely thinks she hates dogs. She does okay with Loki, but she absolutely thinks she hates dogs. Now, they're rescue dogs. And when we went to get Precious, we already had Loki, and they were very leery. And I brought Loki one day, and they didn't kill each other. And Precious snapped at Loki. But then the second day, it was really hot out. It was right after July 4th. And they said, well, bring, and they didn't want to play. They wanted to find any shade they could find. So the Humane Society said, bring them back tomorrow morning when it's cooler, and we'll see if they get along. And I did, and they did play, which was very nice. And so we brought Precious home, and they kept saying, oh, you know, you can bring her back, you can bring her back, you can bring her back, because they didn't even have her in a pen. They had her in a room with windows, but no, you know, so she would be barking like crazy at the other dogs, but at least it wasn't driving all the dogs crazy because, you know, she just was not good in a pen with other dogs around her. So I brought her home, and she was fine, and then the next day, they got into it. Precious, I think, started it, and it was a whole dominance thing. And Precious, you know, and Loki, they went at it. And my son pulled them off, and I thought there would be blood, but there wasn't. And I just think that they were trying to establish dominance, and Loki's like, oh, no, you didn't. And Loki is a very happy little dog and likes other dogs. But he also, used to take him to the dog park, and he learned right away that, you know, this whole hierarchy. And once he got big, when he was a puppy, other dogs picked on him. But once he got big enough, he's like, I don't think anyone's going to pick on me anymore. And that was just his attitude. And so he set Precious straight, and they've been great buddies. He still will pick on her every now and then, but nothing seriously. He just wants to play. But, yeah, they give me countless hours of laughter, my husband and my son, myself. I love dogs. I love cats too, but both my son and my husband are a little more allergic than I am. I've got a slight allergy to them. If I pet them, I have to wash my hands right away.
That's okay. But, I take allergy meds. I'm allergic to them too, and I have two of them.
Oh, yeah. If I pet them and touch my eyeballs, it's all over. My eyeballs will swell shut. It's really bad. But, yeah, no, I enjoy cats, and I enjoy their antics. They're just so different than dogs. But the dogs, oh, man, and they're my exercise trainers. You know, if it wasn't for them, I probably wouldn't walk like I do because they get me out in all kinds of weather. You know, I'll look at their little sad faces, and I'll go, okay. I know, the backyard won't do, so I take them for a walk, and I just absolutely love them. There's just something about their energy and their love that mm-hmm. I'm absolutely sold on.
Holly, the dog trainer, she asked, what does Precious do when she's faced with other dogs? She wants to know what her body language is like. Because she says that every emotion is a conversation, and if you can read her body language, you can get a better idea about what's actually going on with her. And she says she sounds she's anxious and nervous.
Yeah.
Great information, boy. Folks. Now that'll be the time to call in, because this sounds like the person that's in the know on doggies.
Yeah, that's our second half of our show. Well, good.
Yeah.
I'll pick her. A little bit, but we actually had a feeling that she might have been a fighting dog or something. I don't know for sure, but she definitely is very anxious around other dogs. And, you know, the Humane Society, the experts, I put in air quotes, they told us that you could never walk don't ever walk them together. Don't ever walk them together. You're going to have to walk them separately. Well, I just couldn't believe
what?
That. And, you know, yeah, and they walk side by side perfectly together. They are just so cute. But it was very
I have one of those couplers on my leash, and these nuts have been walking together since we got Tyler.
Yeah, they just meant because of Precious's history of not liking
them. Oh, yeah. Well, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Holly says that's the wrong advice. And quite honestly, psychologically, it sounds a little weird. It's like you're playing into somebody else's, you know, stuff. Which I don't
right.
know. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, she's got to understand, you know, what the big, she's got to understand, you know, what her benefits and her negatives are, and I think that when she understands, it's like, I'm the mommy, I'm the one in charge, I'm the alpha, whatever. Even if she's more of a daddy girl, it's just like, this mm-hmm. is how it is. And
yeah.
I think too often people with their animals are extremely weak about things. You know,
right.
maybe it's because they feel they don't know how to communicate with them, but I think if you just, animals will tell you a lot. I totally agree with Holly. They tell you a lot about what's going on in their heads and how they are.
Yeah,
no, they sure do, and they tell you a lot about people too. I know there's some people that my dogs will have nothing to do with, and I mean nothing to do with. And you know, you got to kind of follow their lead when they're telling you things like that. That maybe these people just aren't the greatest people to have around.
Yeah, because, you know, animals change really easily. I mean, you know, if they come into a household where they understand, like, this is how we do things, you know, here's the positives that are coming into a house where we all get along, you know, they actually will acquiesce generally. I mean, I think it's rare, unless you have an animal that actually is sick. Maybe they have distemper or something. There's probably something going on. But, yeah. And I don't think all households are right for all animals, to be perfectly honest.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We definitely know that. Well, Loki, he's very skittish of people, and he was really frightened of us. And the first night we had him, I took him outside, and I wanted him to go be a good boy. And he was just looking at me, and I was looking at him, and I fell in love with him, and him with me, and he knows he can trust me, and he knows he can trust my husband. He's a little iffy about my son, but my son is ADHD and has some rapid movements that kind of freak him out, but there's been only a handful of people that he's loved right away. I mean, and, you know, that he'll go to that he absolutely loves. Most of them are women. But I think that some of it might be his breed, the chow. I'm not quite sure. But I'll ask Holly about that. That'll be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
One time I was cleaning the house. This is hilarious. And when I clean the house, I really don't want anybody underfoot. Husband, son, dogs, nothing. So they were outside, and I'm really getting into cleaning the house. And then I realized that they'd been out there for many hours, so I opened the back door, and I'm like, come on, guys. And in comes Precious, in comes Loki, and in comes another little dog. You know, it was so funny. And they all three got along, and Precious was enamored with this little guy. And so I got his collar and I called the number, and it turned out to be some neighbors down the block, and the guy was like, yeah, we're moving, and he must have gotten out when we had the door open, and I was glad that I found him. But that's how we are in our neighborhood. In our neighborhood, if we see a dog running around, we will definitely try to corral them so they don't get hurt, and then call the owner. Because if you call the Humane Society or animal control, you get a big fine. And in my neighborhood, most of us can't afford that fine. So my dogs have gotten out a few times, but what happens when they both get out is that someone will call to them, and Precious will go to them because she's a little hoe, and Loki will get really freaked out and run home. And so then all of a sudden I'll see him, and he's looking all panicked, and it's almost like he's going, Precious is gone. Precious, you know, he's narking out Precious. It's like, Precious ran away. She's with someone. And those two are the funniest things. So then I look for, sometimes I find her in the neighborhood, or sometimes I call the Humane Society and they go, oh, someone just called us, and they give me the number, and it's someone in the neighborhood. I really like that about my neighborhood, by the way. There seems to be a lot of dog lovers in this neighborhood.
Well, that's great.
It is.
That is great. Well, so it's interesting. I had this thing about relationships, and I actually wrote a poem sort of about that, because my credit card company told me that, I have a relationship manager with a little plastic card, and I have this sort of issue about us saying we love inanimate things. And one of my friends told me, after I told her about the poem, she said, oh, I'm sorry, I just have to tell you, I do love my computer. I absolutely love it. I thought, okay, here we are. I think there is this sort of weird danger about loving inanimate objects that really don't have the ability to love us back. And that's one of the things I want to say about dogs, because there's a lot of people who say it's only a dog, it's only a cat, blah, 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 blah. You know, or they think it's really unrealistic to have a lion love you, or even there's that one, you know, the buffalo or the hyena. But listen, these living things, I believe, have the ability to love back, to show care and to nurturing and to want to connect with the energy that's coming towards them. I don't believe your computer can do that, but, you know, if that works for you, then you live sort of in that Tom Hanks castaway lifestyle. We're not on isolated islands, most of us. If you are, I don't think you're getting this broadcast. But, and so, yeah, if there's nothing else in your life, yeah, maybe you could connect to a ball or a computer. But if you're not connecting well with human beings, get an animal and learn what real unconditional love is like, because that's what I believe our fur babies give us. And they're trying to teach us that whole thing. I don't think they're actively doing it. They just give it to us.
Yeah.
How many times have you stepped on your sweetie's tail and they get upset, but then they still, like, I love you. Why would you step on my tail?
Mm-hmm.
Human beings very easily, you step on their tail or look at their tail and they're gone.
Right.
So
I have
something.
A little quote. I have a little quote right along those lines. Animals are like little angels sent to earth to teach us how to love. They don't get angry or play silly games. They're always there for us. And that was by Whitney Mandel. And isn't it oh so true? They are little angels.
I like to think of them as God's angels.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Me too.
I don't know if any of you got a chance to see this. I did post it, I think, on LNB. And there's a video of a man who was homeless. He was brutally attacked. He ended up in the hospital. He had a dog, and his little dog, of course, the homeless man's dog, is homeless like the dad, the older gentleman, and he was sort of, you know, looked frail. And he waited outside that hospital every day, just sat there waiting for his owner to come out. Finally, one of the healthcare people brought the little dog in, and he... just the joy of he's jumping around and everything, just like, oh, my God, you're okay. You're here. It just even if you're always around your animals, you may not realize how much you mean to them. But when you go away and you come back after a spell, sometimes even just a couple hours, that's not a joke when they're just jumping all around and barking and, you know, wanting to kiss you and hug you. They love you that much. And I think there's a psychologist who said, you know, if our spouses and partners showed even half of what our dogs and cats show us, we wouldn't have all these divorces. in relationship problems.
It's pretty unconditional, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And there's a knowing. You know, who here has been sick and in bed and your animals, like, lay on the bed, you know, where they don't normally lay on the bed all day long, but if you're in there, they just lay on the bed for you. It's just absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
there
it
is.
Yeah.
I have all four of them right there.
Right.
Except for Bootsy, because she still doesn't like stir fry.
Yeah.
She hisses at her. She growls at her. She's just not very nice to her.
Yeah, she says maybe when she grows up I'll give her a chance.
Maybe, I doubt it, though, because Bootsy, well, you all know Bootsy had a pretty rough start because she wasn't with me when she was a kitten. And the only really real kitten I've had around is Stir Fry. I didn't know how much fun these little cats are. But anyways, she had a rough start, and she was abused a little bit before she got here. And she was pretty darn mean, but now at least she's not mean. But, boy, does she ever hiss at that poor little Stir Fry.
Yeah, well, she also didn't want to, you know, give up her place in the hierarchy of the family. She's like, I'm the boss.
Yeah, maybe.
You're a little whippersnapper. I don't know how cats are so much, but I've heard that it takes a while, and younger cats, some of the older cats don't want much to do with them.
Well, I don't think Bootsy's ever going to come around, but that's okay. Stir Fry gives her reign of the house, basically, and unless it's sleeping on her blanket on the bed, then she's not too happy about that, but she still won't fight her for it.
There's some great information in there. Well, on the website, Holly said that there wouldn't be any wars or poverty or any of the many other social ills human societies create every day, obviously, if they acted like our dogs do towards us. And then AJ said, yeah, and they never even ask to go outside or anything, even when it's time. They just sit, wait, and sleep. You know, they're just, you know, they wait for us. And, and AJ said they're not mean at all. But, hey, Mel says that her cats still have fights, little fights at age 13.
Okay. Maybe they like that, though.
But Holly says that with time, you know, animals, you know, they sort of learn. I don't know what the deal is. I think that Mel's cats love each other. It's just, I think that they, you know, I think that here's another thing that people kind of forget. Animals become geriatric as well. And they don't always tell us that their joints and everything are hurting or they've got bruises. So sometimes they get a little bothersome. And it's because there are some pains going on, but we don't know about.
Yeah, and
remember
when they get
that.
Older, they don't have the tolerance that they did when they were younger either, because I know Bailey, who is the oldest of all my animals, she'll be 14 this year. And she's my old lady, and she's a grumpy old lady. If she doesn't want to be bothered by any of the younger ones, she snaps at them, but she has no teeth, so she can't hurt them. Well, no front teeth anyway. So.
That's the way older people do when, you know, the little kids are bouncing around and they just can't handle it. So,
yeah, they bite
I mean,
them,
it's just
right?
Something to be cognizant of. Huh?
They bite them, right?
Right. If they have their teeth.
If they have their teeth in, yes.
Right. Hey, guys, before we get on to the second half of the show, I do want to read something that a friend of mine wrote. And posted on Facebook, and I asked her if I could read this, and she said yes. And her name is Michelle, I wanted to read this. I think it's really beautiful. She writes really well, but it's not long. She said, I needed serious grounding today. Hal knew this. He continued to graze by the gate as we walked up. He lifted his head to smell my offered hand. He went back to his munching, but also moved so that his whole right side was available to me. His coat, hot from the sun, felt dusty and a little grainy from a roll he must have had earlier. My hand collected shedding hairs, which blew off with a swirling breeze. He felt good, real, strong but relaxed. He felt like medicine, calming. He was quieting my inner turmoil. He was piecing me back together. I wanted to sit in the middle of that pasture for hours, but time wasn't on my side. I'm grateful for the time I had. Animals are powerful healers. I know this as fact.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
I love it.
Me too. Yeah, and horses are used in therapy a lot. Horses are great therapists. They use them a lot. They're very good with autistic children and anybody. I have a friend who was born, a young friend who was born with no bones in, you know, now I'm forgetting what it is, the front bone of your leg, not the quad, but the front bone. And she did equestrian therapy, and it was really good for her.
It's amazing what horses can do for all kinds of people with and without handicaps, but especially with the handicaps, they just seem to calm them right down. And maybe it's the power of the horse and how gentle the horse can be with somebody on its back.
Mhm. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, we got Holly here.
Yes, we do.
And we'll have Nina introduce her.
Yeah,
okay.
I just want to go over the phone lines and to let everybody know if you're calling in with a blocked number, we will not answer the call. So please call in with your number, and the number is 646-727-2914. And hello, Holly, how are you? This is Holly. She has she's the founder of Wolf Paranormal Investigations. And she also has a dog obedience. She's a dog obedience trainer. So welcome, Holly.
Hi.
Hi, Holly. It's Lydia.
Hi, Lydia.
Nice.
How are you doing?
I'm well.
Awesome.
And how are you?
I'm great.
Excellent.
Good.
So
jump
who's going
in.
To ask Holly the first question, Lydia?
Yeah, Liddy, you just had some issues going on. You know, sounds like you could talk real good to the master trainer there.
Yeah, well, you know, and I've never taken Precious to a trainer. I just have to be, you know, I have to be alert. But one thing about Precious, you know, she's chow, and she talks a lot. And if there is a dog anywhere inside a house or on the, you know, out walking around, she starts crying. So then I know to, you know, not give her any slack and just pull her to me because she has attacked several dogs.
Okay.
So,
well,
you know, and she does seem anxious.
Well, when she starts to cry, what is
mm-hmm.
her body language? What are her ears doing? Or what is her tail doing? Are her hackles up? Is she wanting to meet these other dogs or is she... Is her body language telling you that she just wants to attack?
Her body language is she wants to attack.
Okay.
I have made the mistake a couple times. It was with family members' dogs. I thought, oh, she'll be fine, but she immediately attacked.
She did, eh?
Mm-hmm.
So how much exposure? You said she was a shelter dog?
Yes.
Okay, and... Was she surrendered or was she a stray?
She was surrendered in Kansas. I live in Boulder, Colorado, and on the paperwork in Kansas, just broke my heart. The guy had put no longer wanted.
So it's possible that she may have been a fighting dog.
That's, you know, actually my husband and I both thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it just really, and she's so happy to be with us. She's besides that, she's a very, very good dog. And
mm-hmm.
one time she ran out of the car. We had taken off on a camping trip and we rounded the corner and everything started shifting in the back of the van. And so we pulled right over and my husband went to open the side door to, you know, stabilize everything. and Precious had seen a dog across on the other side of the street.
Mm-hmm.
And she jumped out of the car, ran over there, and I thought, oh, no. But it was a big dog, and all she did was pretty much was say, oh, hi there, handsome. She's smart enough not to mess with certain dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like maybe he was an alpha male. But she also, oh, there was something else I was going to say about that. I think, too, the leashes don't help.
Well, actually, the leash is supposed to be an extension of your arm.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know how to use the leash properly, then you could actually be creating tension where there doesn't need to be any.
Mm-hmm.
How you hold that leash is going to signal to her what's going on with you. If you have it slack, and you're relaxed, and you are relaxed, she is going to relax.
Mm-hmm.
But if you start to anticipate a problem, you see the dog across the street, and you start to anticipate, oh, my God, what if she gets out, and she's going to bolt, and all this. And as you're anticipating this, you are creating that scenario. And the thing about dogs is they're all about energy and body language. That's what mm-hmm. you read. So if you're anticipating a problem, you're going to have a problem.
Right.
So she's going to bolt. She's going to get across the street, which is very dangerous because,
know,
if what if somebody comes along and hits her, right?
Right.
That's very dangerous. What based on what you've told me, and, I mean, I can't see her, right? So based on what you've told me, though, it sounds to me like she is the one making the decision.
Yes.
And she's going to do what she wants to do. There's no respect. There is absolutely no respect there for you. You are not her pack leader.
Yeah.
If you were her pack leader, she would quiver and she would be all excited, but she would not move until you told her that it was okay to do so. Do you understand what I mean?
I definitely do. And I think she's gotten better, but I still, you know, it's, yeah, I take my cues from when she alerts me there's a dog. I'm a little more relaxed, and usually I just cross the street.
Mm-hmm.
But I just can't trust her. She attacked a neighbor's dog. I can't trust her around dogs because it was very expensive.
Yeah. But that's part of your problem right there. If you don't trust your dog is not going to trust you. You
mm-hmm.
have to get that resolved. Otherwise, this situation is just going to continue and it's going to get worse. There's
mm-hmm.
that risk that it could get worse, and you don't want that.
Mm-hmm. No,
but you are so tense with her that she's reacting to that and figures that she has to do something about it because you are very tense.
Yeah, I'm actually not so tense anymore, and I have seen that she's better.
Okay, well, this is great.
I couldn't trust her around a dog. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah,
but I'm more relaxed about it.
Her, so you're not as relaxed as you could be.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
You're absolutely right.
So my suggestion to you would be, because I can't come out there to help you.
Darn it.
I would if I could, but I can't. My suggestion would be for you to look into trainers that specialize in aggression
mm-hmm.
and aggression-related issues. And if you find a good one, they will be able to help you help Precious. Because
mm-hmm.
she's just stuck in the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. She's stuck there, and her brain isn't moving forward. And until you can get somebody to help you work with her to change that, that situation will just continue to play out. And that's mm-hmm. not, she's not going to be happy.
Right.
And you're not going to be able to trust her. And in
right.
turn, she won't be able to trust you. There's no trust or respect there. You've got to have trust, respect, and loyalty. And if you don't have one of those components, you do not have a happy human, and you definitely do not have a happy, balanced dog.
Mm-hmm. I see that. Yeah.
I so agree with that, Holly. I saw an episode once many years back, and I, you know, how I am with my animals, I train, whatever. I start from day one, whatever. But I just, you know, there's a lot of things that I never really think about because I'm sort of more intuitive with them and I, you know, training all that. But he had this show, Cesar Millan had this show where they had this golden retriever, and the poor thing, it's like he was always weird about going outside. And these, the couple was just like, well, you know, we get the leash and he just doesn't seem like he wants to go out, and then we have to sort of pull him, whatever. And it's like they were nervous all the time about how he was going to react, and he would act quite aggressive as well.
Mm-hmm.
But what Cesar, which validates what, not that she needs the validation, what he told these people was the dog is too stressed out from you making him be the leader or be in charge.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to be.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't even know how to handle when they come across something else. And it's like he was really adamant about you have to have a real strong sense of assertion.
Yes.
So that this
calm,
dog knows that, huh?
Calm, assertive energy.
Right, right. So this yeah, I'm not talking like crazy, but you know, yeah. Thank you. She's a trainer. She knows the way to say it. But that dog was like night and day. You know, when the dad and the mom both started, you know, like, I'm in charge, I'm in control, and you follow in step.
And
he was
and
fine even when he would pass other dogs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think I saw that episode, too. When I'm on, yeah, I agree. I see that she's getting better because I am more calm.
Mm-hmm.
But assertive.
Well, it can be helpful
the part that Holly
before.
Also was imparting, the assertive, too, that firm, assertive, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. You can be assertive without being excited.
Yes,
oh,
I know.
Sure.
I saw that when I would watch the dog whisperer. I saw how he would do it. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and basically, I love Cesar Millan. I love him because we share very similar philosophies about dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar. You know, and he just is out there making himself famous about it, and I think that's awesome. I love what he does, and I have a lot of respect for him. So I just want to say that. Just want to be clear about that. However, the Humane Society that said that the dog should not be
walked together?
Walked with another dog? Absolutely,
yeah,
that is not good advice. I'm sorry, but all due respect, I completely disagree with that. The last thing that dog needs is to be isolated from other dogs. It is not normal
for a
dog to be alone all the time when there are other dogs. It is not normal. It goes against their nature to be alone.
Yeah, they're pack animals.
Yes, very much so. And the cruelest thing you can do is to keep that dog isolated from other dogs. It's not fair.
Right.
Yeah.
But having said
really
that, you don't want to just drop them into the fray either. Because
right.
because a dog, if a dog is really nervous, the other dogs around there are going to see that. They're going to sense that. And to them, you know, they're seeing that as weakness. And that can trigger an attack.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
see it as, oh, you poor baby. You know, and we are applying human psychology to a dog, you know, to the canine world. It doesn't work. Human psychology does not work on animals.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
For instance, small and large dogs. My landlord, friends of the family, anyway, they had a Pomeranian, And their Pomeranian, he was working in the yard next door, and I was there, and then he was getting ready to come over to my yard. And my two dogs are Chow and Australian Shepherd, and Australian Shepherd and Border Collie, which look big to a little Pomeranian. But dogs don't have that sense of, oh, it's a big dog and a little dog. It's just a dog. And they go mostly about smells. And so my landlord, he's like, oh, his dog just kept barking and barking on the other side of the fence. And I said, why don't you just let him over here? And he goes, oh, he's probably barking because he's scared of the big dogs. It's like, Brian, he's a dog. He doesn't care about the big dog. The little, that doesn't. And he goes, well, if you think, you know, but they're the kind that would always pick up their little baby. So the dog comes over, and he walks around like he owns the world. You know, Pomeranians, that's their lionheartedness anyway. And my dogs and the little dog got along just fine.
Yep.
He wasn't barking anymore. He just wanted to come over and play.
Yeah.
Exactly, yep.
But you got to remember, humans are the ones that assign breeds to dogs. We do that. Dogs don't know breed. They don't know what that is. They don't know a pit bull from a German Shepherd. They just see, oh, this is a dog. Great. This is one of my kind. Awesome. Let's have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
We humans that assign breed names and stuff like that. We're the ones that do that.
Yeah, while you all are talking about dogs, my little cat is going nuts on me. She is eating the dog food and untying my moccasins. Now...
Is it stir fry?
Yeah, that's stir fry.
She's exploring her world.
Well, she has this little bit of a problem. If she has just the bottom layer of her dish has got food in it, she decides that she can't eat that. She has to eat the dog's food.
Do you train cats too, Holly?
What?
Do you train cats too? I mean, I know you have a cat. We have your cat on the pictures.
Yes.
But do you train cats too?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, I do.
And what should I do about her?
Well, let her explore, but I would just kind of watch the dog food thing. Dog food and cat food is formulated very differently, and it can actually cause problems for them.
Like, I know.
Glimmer.
Yeah, I've been trying to keep her away from
eating Charlie's food, and she gets sick from it. She's allergic to it because it's too rich.
Mm-hmm.
Like the cat food is too rich for the dog, and the same could be true if a cat is eating dog food. Like the formulation is so different, it could make them ill. So you want to be really careful about how much of that stir fry is getting.
Well, yeah, I have been stopping her from doing it, and she all I have to do is snap my fingers now and she does stop. So
okay.
I've got her pretty much trained myself, but she's just like, I've never been around a kitten before, and this she
aren't
entertains me like, oh yeah, so totally entertaining.
They are.
And you know what, I apologize to all my friends that have cats. I never could understand how you could be attached to a cat until I got this kid.
No.
Now I know. Oh, my
now
God.
Now you know. Yes.
I do so, and I do apologize to all of you out there that I couldn't understand how you could get that attached because they're so independent, blah, blah, blah. Well, this little cat follows me everywhere. She's like a dog.
Aww.
She does. I go downstairs, she's right behind me. I come back upstairs, she's right behind me. I go to bed, she's right behind me. I go to the bathroom, she's right behind me. I try and go and have a shower by myself, and she sits outside the door and cries until I let her in.
That's adorable.
It is adorable. Hey, Holly, your dog is named Glimmer, right? Did I remember that right?
Yes.
Yep.
And what kind of dog is Glimmer?
She is a Shih Tzu Cocker Spaniel Retriever cross.
Wow.
Her dam is half Shih Tzu, half Cocker Spaniel, and her sire is full-blood Retriever.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah.
And Did you, you know, I know you said you were kind of training her to help you in your work. Did you pick her from that, or how did you acquire Glimmer?
Actually, it's a funny story. It's funny as in bizarre. I don't choose my animals. My animals always choose me. Our cat Rascal passed away, and she was all that Charlie knew. Like, Charlie was raised with her, and he is going to be 15 this year. So for 14 years, or sorry, 16, for 14 years, Rascal was all that he knew. Well, when she passed away, he got very depressed, and we could not bring him out of it. I was reluctant to get another cat, but by the time we met Glimmer, I had already gotten to the point where I didn't care. We just needed to get him a companion or he was going to die. So I put it out to the universe. I don't care what it is, cat, dog, fish, bird, lizard, I don't care. But he needs a companion. And 2 days later, my daughter said to me out of the blue, "Hey, guess what?" And she told us about Glimmer.
Aww.
She told us about somebody's dog that she knows. Somebody's dog had had puppies. And there was one left. So my husband and I went to meet the dog. And, of course, we fell right in love with her. She was 3 weeks old. We fell completely in love with her. She connected with us right away. And the following week, we got a phone call that we could pick her up. She and her siblings were actually biting their mother when they were nursing. And so they couldn't nurse anymore. Mm-hmm. They were being put onto mushed-up food at the suggestion of a vet. So we picked her up, and she's been with us ever since. She just turned 19 months.
Oh.
And, she has saved Charlie's life. We got her for him, and she has saved his life.
Well, we had Loki, and I started looking for another dog because we've always had two dogs, but we lost a dog very prematurely due to a brain tumor and at 5 and a half, and we were devastated, and my husband was very devastated, and he didn't want a dog for a while. And finally, I just said, "I'm going crazy. I'm at the house most of the time. I want my dog. I want my walking partner." So we got Loki, and then I started about 5 months later, I started looking for a companion because we've always had two dogs, and I saw Precious on the website, and I just thought, oh, my God, that's it. But we were going away for the weekend, and I told my husband, I said, "Well, if she's there, when we get back, I'm going to go look at her."
Mm-hmm.
And I think they would have put her down. I think they would have put her down if I hadn't taken her. Yeah.
So it's a good thing that you got her when you did.
Yes, very good. But I agree, you know, it was just, she picked me. That little picture of her, she was just telling me, you know, "I need you, Mama."
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
I can totally relate to that. Yeah, well, it's like, you know, I mean, I'm sure you watch The Dog Whisperer, so you know Cesar
mm-hmm.
Millan has a saying, you don't get the dog you want, you get the dog you need.
Exactly. Yeah.
So whether that's kind of a slug or whether that's, you know, super high energy, you know, you need that. Whatever it is that they are bringing into your life is what you need. And
yeah.
For whatever reason, you know, most of the time, we just don't get that. We don't realize that they're here to teach us.
Yeah.
They teach us how to live, and they teach us how not to sweat the small things, and they teach us, you know, like with Glimmer. You know, I get stressed out about something or really tense about something, and she just gives me this funny look. It's like, "What's your issue, Mom?"
Mm-hmm.
"Have a nap." And I do, and I feel better. You know,
yeah.
She just, and because she's still a puppy, you know, she has so much energy, but that forces me to get off my butt and get her out.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would be a complete slug too. Mm-hmm. You know, and it does, it keeps Charlie moving so that he's not completely sedentary. He does have arthritis in his back. So movement can be very difficult for him sometime, but she is very gentle with him, and she gets him moving.
Good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Holly, I have a question for you. How are you training Glimmer for your paranormal activities? What do you do to train her for that?
I take her out to, usually I'll take her out to one of the local cemeteries that I know is active.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody looking would just think I'm walking her through there, through the grounds. But
mm-hmm.
actually what I'm doing is I'm watching her behavior, how she walks, how she moves, when she stops, what she's looking at, when she's sensing something, if she seems to have a particular pull toward the headstone and then she just sits there. Things like that is what I'm watching for, because they can see,
mm-hmm.
but we can't, and because it's energy.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
that's kind of, and then if I can get her to provide the same response when she picks up on something that I can't see, then I can take her into other locations and she will alert me by doing whatever it is that I've taught her to do, whether I'm teaching her to just go into a sit position or you know, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we're just
mm-hmm.
kind of in the beginning stages of that right now. So weather really threw everything off. We got some last year, and that shut it right down.
Yeah.
So she hasn't, and then winter has been very cold, so she hasn't been out since last year.
Wow.
But she was 6 months old last year. She's a lot calmer now at 19 months.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
so you'll be able to start that back up again right away.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that will be fun.
Yes,
I think fun for both
filmed.
Of you.
Yeah, and it's being filmed, so... Yeah.
And that,
so
that
you're able to look at the things that you could maybe possibly change to enhance, foster, or, you know, not do as much, right?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, I tend to take my cues from her with regard to that. I do take my cues from her. I allow her to lead because she is going to be the first respondent, right? So
mm-hmm.
if I allow her to take the lead, then that helps me figure out what her response is, and then I can just encourage that.
Exactly. Yeah, that's very cool.
I think so.
Thank you.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
Did your other dog ever help you? Your older dog ever help you?
I don't have an older dog. I have an older cat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Charlie is our senior cat. And he's very, very sensitive.
Yeah.
He is
very sensitive.
Yeah, he's extremely sensitive.
But
our dog is sometimes. Pardon me?
It's harder to take a cat out to like a cemetery.
Yeah, I don't take him out, but our house is busy enough. So he always lets
him
know.
Cool.
I think so.
So when, now just, of course, you're a trainer, you train whenever, but when do you like to get, if it were your option, when would you like to have a person come in to start training with you? Is it easier when they're puppies, or is it easier after they're a year old, or is it easier after they've kind of known their parents a while?
My personal preference is to start training the day you bring them home. Doesn't matter how old they are. I started training Glimmer when she was 5 weeks old.
Okay.
And you just do really, really, really simple little things with them. And at that age, you only give them like, well, at 5 weeks, I gave her 10 minutes at a time. I probably
mm-hmm.
should have only given her five, but... I went with my standard 10. And then as she gets older, I increase that time. But that's ideally, that's when you go to pick them up, whether you're picking them up at a breeder's house or somebody else's house or the Humane Society or whatever other shelter, the second that you walk in the door with that leash, that's when the training should begin.
Mm-hmm.
So they start to learn right away.
So, yeah. Okay, I know we're just about out of time, but before you go, maybe you could leave a simple little training tip to all the owners out there.
Sure.
Maybe one little tidbit.
The best advice or the best suggestion that I can give is be patient, be calm, and, well, just be patient and remember to stay calm, calm assertive.
Mm-hmm.
And be consistent, I would think, too.
Absolutely, yep. If you train them at from 9 to 10 in the morning, then you always train them at 9 from 9 to 10 in the morning. Dogs require a routine.
Mm-hmm.
If they have a routine, then they know, okay, so this time to this is when we should be starting to work.
Great information.
Yeah, and if you're going to give your dog a treat, make them work for it. Don't just give it to them.
Yeah.
Make them work for it, whether you're getting them to sit or lay down or speak or whatever it is. They need to work for it. They have to get that you are the food source and they get nothing unless you give it to them and unless they earn it. They have to earn it. I never, ever, ever give Glimmer treats unless she works for them.
Mm-hmm. That's a good... And dogs do like to work.
Oh, they need a job.
Yeah.
Dogs that are really destructive and cranky and irritable and pulling on the leash and, you know, just if they're in the house and they're just going nuts and destroying stuff, it's because they're bored. They need a job.
Yeah.
So if you can find something for them to do, that's when you can start looking at their breed. Like border collies are herding animals, for example. They need to herd something. So if you can find a way to get them out to a farm where they can just exercise that out and they can do what they're born to do, great. But if you can't, you need to find something that they can do so they don't get bored. You have to challenge them mentally as well as physically.
Uh-huh. Very good. I actually think Precious might be part border collie. She has that hair that kind of lays down around her face, and she's got kind of a long collie snout.
Mm-hmm.
In other ways, she looks like a chow, but in her little face, she looks like she could be border collie.
Yeah, she does.
Did she ever go nipping at your heels?
No, she doesn't.
She doesn't try to attack your feet?
No, she doesn't.
Well, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a hurting thing because they do that, right? You think about a cattle dog and how they nip at the heels of the sheep or the cows, right? It's because they're hurting them. So if she's doing anything like that, then maybe you could look at finding a way to help her fulfill that need to herd. Or whatever it is that she is doing most often, find a way to fulfill that, and she will be a lot happier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But definitely go and see a trainer, find a trainer that specializes in aggression issues.
Mm-hmm.
They will be able to help you get her past that.
Cool.
With the other dog.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Holly.
You're welcome.
I really enjoyed you talking about the dogs, and you have a lot of experience and wisdom.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Holly.
Thanks. Thanks for coming on and sharing with us. We forgot Plum to even give the number out. Dave is just totally enthralled, And so I don't, if there were people hoping to call in, apologize.
I did give the number out. I did give it out once, but only once.
The number's also at the top of the chat box, so.
Yeah, there's quite a few people out there, so still there, so, yeah. But that is bringing me to the other thing I wanted to say is, can you give all your information, Holly? I know there's a little thing on our slideshow, and it might be a little small, but Holly can go ahead and give us all that information to, you know. So
if people
want to
get a hold of
your little business card.
Yeah, I'm working on that. I'm in Calgary, and so right now my ability to be getting out and about is kind of restricted to Calgary and outlying areas right now.
In case
I'm really
for those of you that don't know where Calgary is, it's in Alberta, Canada.
Yes.
I've been there.
Home of the Stampede. if you're interested in having some training done, I only do basic obedience. I do not teach advanced obedience. I don't teach agility. I don't do any of that. I'm strictly obedient, basic obedience. I will come to your home because it's easier when the dog is in a familiar environment. So I will come to you according to your schedule. So if you want to be looking into that and you think maybe I can help you, then you can email me at happydogsobedience@gmail.com. And the dogs is spelled D-A-W-G-S. So it's all
so that would be... W-G. Yeah, so you spell that all the way out?
Yeah, okay, so it's Happy Dogs, D-A-W-G-S, Obedience Training at gmail.com.
Yeah. And then we have a
number to call?
Not yet, I'm working on that.
Okay.
All I have is my home phone right now, and I really don't want to be
no.
using that right now, so we go with email right now.
Yeah, no, that's a good way to go.
Or you can send me a message on Facebook. We're Happy Dogs Obedience Training on Facebook. Send me a message there.
Okay.
That'll work too.
And a happy dog is a trained dog.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And just a quick note, because some people might not know this, I absolutely do not use prong collars or any type of collar that has prongs in it. I believe that they are cruel, and I believe that they are inhumane, and I don't believe that any dog should be required to wear one.
Thank you.
If you have to put a prong collar on a dog, you're not doing something right.
That's right.
And
Thank you very much for bringing that up.
I feel very strongly about that. I don't use those kind of devices. I don't agree with them. I just don't. I'm not okay with
it. I say if you want to put a prong collar on a dog, then you wear one for 24 hours.
Exactly.
Yep. I'm okay with e-collars if the people know how to use them properly. I have a vibrating bark collar that I had to get for Glimmer because she was just barking incessantly and would not stop. It is vibration only. I only had to use it once or twice, and I never had to use it again. It works according to the loudness and the pitch of her bark.
I tried one of those with Bailey.
Yep. It startles them. It doesn't hurt them. It's not a shock thing. It's vibration only. It's not an electrical shock.
No, it isn't. And I tried that with Bailey, and it didn't work. She barked even more. I think it must have been older or something. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
She figured it was a joke.
It might not have been secure enough on her.
Well, the way I figure it is she's old now. She's earned her right to bark.
Yeah,
she
well,
can hear
she's 14
them.
Now, so, yeah, she can do whatever she wants.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If she can hear them and see them, then that's a good thing, and she can bark.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Can't argue with that.
Okay.
Well, we went over, but that's as expected. We do plan for that, thank God. And I guess what we want to talk about now is some upcoming shows. What did you guys have planned for next week, next Monday night?
It's forgiveness.
Oh, yeah. And go ahead.
Yeah, it's forgiveness and also apologizing. If you mm-hmm. haven't apologized or you've wanted to, or maybe you realize that when you're metering out some forgiveness that maybe there's a few people or situations you'd like to apologize for. This is not about sorry, because sorry is a whole other aspect, but just apologize, and forgive yourself and forgive others. It's a good way to clean up your soul.
Exactly. So. And tomorrow, BYO Brilliance. Brenda, what's on the menu?
Tomorrow it is writing. This is a good one if you want to write, if you've ever wanted to write, if you've been writing and you just are sort of unclear, are you a writer, are you not a writer? Well, I'll be able to answer that for you. Not really. I won't be answering that for you, but you'll be able to answer that for yourself, I believe, after you listen to The Brilliance of Writing tomorrow. And our show is at 6 o'clock in the evening.
And Wednesday is Psychic Readings with Lennis, and that's on at 3 p.m. Was that right? 3 p.m. Pacific Coast? Lennis and Brenda. Brenda is also there, and I'll be in the chat room. Thursday is Filmcology. And what movie are we reviewing on Thursday?
Thursday is Where the Heart Is with Ashley Judd and the main character. What's her name?
Don't remember.
You know, she played Queen Dumbala or something. No, what's her name?
I can't
Come
remember.
On. Okay, well, anyway, it's called Where the Heart Is, and it was the movie where a woman had her baby in the Walmart. After
love that.
And time, Brenda?
After in the parking lot, shoeless. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What time is that? 3 o'clock?
That's going to be, actually, 6 o'clock. We're going to 6 o'clock. So Nina brought up some things with me this week about how there's, all these different time frames. And I'm actually trying to keep the same balance for the shows that I do personally.
Okay.
So all the Brenda shows will be at 6 p.m. from now on. And hopefully that won't have to change anymore in the future. I know there's a whole lot of...
That's what? Thursday at 6 o'clock Pacific
6 p.m.
time.
Pacific
okay.
time. Where the heart is.
And Friday
and
is Traffic Jam.
Brenda, it's Natalie Portman, I think, is who the
Thank
other
Thank you. That's exactly correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Traffic
Sorry.
Jam
Natalie.
With Lennis on Friday at 3 o'clock Pacific time. A half hour of music to start your weekend off on. Time to Love will not be on this Saturday because Miss Lydia is going to Boston. Am I right on that, Lydia?
You have such a great memory. I'm going with my husband, who is running the Boston Marathon, and I'm going to be taking in all the sights and feelings. I think it's going to be an emotional run for a lot of people. And my husband is running for solidarity with runners. They can't, his reaction last year was they're not going to take, the races away from people. We're going to run. We're all going to run. And so I'm going to report on that, and I'm actually going to interview my husband the following week on the 26th, but we'll talk about that later. Or awesome. We'll talk about that another time. Yeah.
And, yeah, that brings us to Sunday, and Sunday is...
It says the Easter Show Variety. I'm not quite sure if that show is actually going to take place, but so you guys can check in if you know, somehow you can tear yourself away from the Easter vittles and church and all that and pop on over at 3 p.m. So just, if you want to go, but you may not be a show, I'm not sure. So, basically through Thursday, I'm not sure if the Friday show is going to be on this radio network or if she's going to pop over to another one. We'll see what comes up for Fridays, but Lennis will keep you posted. And then,
Monday,
so
Lydia,
then I
you
guess
will
we'll
not
be back to Monday. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not going to be with us on next Monday, Lydia, or are you going to try and phone
in? I am going to try and phone in. It just depends. You know, we're going to be, we'll be celebrating the run, and but it'll be late enough. It'll be 11 o'clock on the East Coast, so I may go into a bathroom and call up.
All right. Okay. Well, if we hear you, we hear you. If we don't, well, then we'll forgive you.
Oh. And I'll forgive you guys for having a show that's near and dear to my heart while I'm gone. But I think I'll try to call in.
Oh, sounds wonderful. Okay, folks, I guess that brings us to the end of our show, but don't hang up yet because we are going to do a meditation.
And I just want to, say a heartfelt thanks again to Holly. She gave some great information both in the chat room and on air. So if anything, you take from this is animals are there for you probably sometimes better than humans. And also training them is a good thing because it helps them to feel more secure. So
Yes. Check
out services like Holly's. If you get a chance, you'll probably see yourself with a better relationship with your animal. Okay, everybody, now that we have that, we're going to go ahead and set you up for a little meditation and some good stuff in your heads. I'm going to do it to you.
Okay.
Good.
And I'll be doing Reiki while the meditation is on for all of you listening.
Okay.
Now that you are relaxed, my voice and the nature sounds continue to take you deeper. You are on a brilliant and loving journey. Speaking the words, I am that I am. You are empowered to create the life of your highest good and joy. As you sleep each night, you see your dreams and aspirations. They safely meet you with joy and love. You happily accept and embrace them. Accept and see yourself healthy and healed, reflecting your chosen physical form. Accept and see yourself in your chosen financial position. See yourself accepting the goals you choose to make. manifest in your life. Your goals, dreams, and aspirations are completely in your control. Every day, you awake refreshed, energetic, and you accept the power to realize love, happiness, and the goals that serve you. You are love. You are brilliant. You are healthy. You are healed. You are secure. You speak these words to yourself daily, several times a day. I am that I am. I am that I am.
Namaste.
Home.